And what is this all about? Is it not knowing Christ? This is life eternal. To know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Isn't that why we're contentious? Isn't that why we're envious? Isn't that why jealousy abounds? It's because really we have never drank of the Spirit of Christ. Is that why we can't take an offense? It's really because we've never embraced Christ to our hearts. Oh, we're saved all right. Sometimes when I read the language of Robert Murray McShane and Samuel Rutherford, I feel a blush coming over my face. They want to be so close to Christ. They know that their spiritual existence depends upon it, and the power that they long for is in this. You know, Christ near to his heart, an old man. Some folk think when they get old they need a good pension and they need a bit of superannuation and they hope that the pension will rise. Well, I'm sure everybody needs a little bit, but listen. What an old man and an old woman needs is really Christ near to their heart. Now, well, that's what a young man needs too. I'll deliver him from all his folly. That's what mature men need as well. They need Christ in their arms and they need him very near to their affections. May God in mercy give us to see that the Spirit of God gives us to come into the temple, gives us eyes for Christ, gives us arms to embrace Christ. Something else. He gave him language to eulogize Christ. Maybe that's too big a word. He gave him language to praise Christ. You know, that's what we need when we're gathered to the Lord's name. We need language to express ourselves and our love to Christ. But you know, if you've not been reading your Bible, and you've not been privately seeking his face, you can imagine that they're just wearied, waiting on you sitting down. May God in mercy give you to understand that the Spirit of God will not only give us eyes for Christ, and give us arms and hearts for Christ, but he'll give us language to express Christ. Is there any more, says someone? I notice the Spirit-led man, he's not a bigoted man. You know, he sees that this Christ that he's personally enjoying is the Christ of all nations. Is the Christ of all nations. You know, some people see no further than these four walls. Well, it's good, you know, there's other folk, all they see is Abidjan and Pakistan and India and we're meeting all these things. But here's a man that's Spirit-led and he sees the Christ that was for his own private affections is the Christ that's going to satisfy all nations. And the light that's come into his soul, he sees it's going to be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You know, if you don't think there's a future for Israel, old Simeon did. Old Simeon believed it. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. There is a future for Israel and he sees it. But he doesn't see it before he sees the Gentile age. The light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You know, the Spirit-led man, he's interested in the right place. He's interested to come into the temple. He's interested to see Christ. He's interested to embrace Christ. He's interested to praise Christ. He's interested in all nations. That means he's interested in a dispensational ministry as well. He's interested in the future. He's interested in the rapture. He's interested in the revelation and manifestation. He's interested in the millennial. He's interested in the day of God. He's interested in every facet of the future of God's divine purpose. He's interested in it for his own heart and life and family. But he's got an eye. The Spirit gives him an eye, not only for Christ, but for Christ's interest in the years that are yet ahead. I hope I'm getting that over to you. The Spirit led. Man, I thought I saw someone giving the clock just a little squint there. And that tells me I should move on a little bit. You know, views of the nations. And then I noticed too that
getting Christ near to him, there's a big surge comes over him. What is it? He's got that desires to depart. Desires to depart. Now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You know, the man that's spirit led, there's often thoughts about wanting to depart. You know, even after you get all that you're wanting in this world, there comes an awful aching void within your breast. You're longing for that which is real and eternal, and that which is lasting and divine. You know, once you've seen Christ, and once you've held Christ, and once you've enjoyed Christ, you know, this old world doesn't have the same hold upon you at all. At all. Is that why we're so earthbound? Is that why we're still, the members are dragged to the earth? It's just because we've not had Christ of late near unto our hearts. Did you notice too that the spirit-led man, he's got blessings for others? Are you a blessing to others? It says he blessed both Joseph and Mary. And then he turns to her. You know, the Spirit of God, it's wonderful, the accuracy of Holy Scripture. You know, he blesses them both. And then he turns to her. And he says, and a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. You see, the Spirit knew that Joseph wasn't going to be there at the cross. And there was a ministry for her. There was a blessing for them both, but there was a particular ministry for her. I've noticed this, that the spiritual man, he's got a blessing for everybody, but he should have particular intelligent blessings for certain people. You know, God's got blessings for everyone, but he's got blessings for some in particular that are going to need it. A ministry, a prophecy. You see, Mary had a place in prophecy, Micah. She had a place in history. That's the incarnation. She had a place at Calvary when she stood beneath the cross. And she had a place in the assembly in Acts of the Apostles. And that's the finish of it all. Just someone, it's wonderful she had a place in prophecy, wasn't it? I think it's just as wonderful that she had a place in the assembly. You see, I don't see truth divided. I see truth as one entity. And I see God's revelation as one revelation. I know it's in many parts. But all truth is the same to me. Whether it's doctrinal, ethical, practical. I don't care what the truth is. I take the whole truth in its entirety. I believe it all. The spirit-led man has got a blessing for other people. Have you been a blessing to others? It's serious, isn't it? Have you been particularly a blessing to someone? Maybe someone in this meeting could say, you know, that man blessed me, that man visited me, that man prayed for me, that man was at the door when I needed it most. Oh, that I could take the time to go through all these things. But then there's as many women in my eye. I counted there was as many women here as men. And I thought, that's just lovely. Because I noticed that the Spirit's leading is not confined to the males. And I read concerning Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she's as spiritual as Simeon. Ah, you know, my friend, that's something that's been forgotten too. That a woman can be as spiritual as a man. She doesn't need to be a speaker like a man. But you know, spirituality has nothing at all to do with speaking. And spirituality has nothing to do with being able to say Greek tense and text in the Bible reading. You know, my dear friend, I want to tell you that Peter speaks about holy women as well as holy men. And these things are open to everyone. What about her? Well, you know, she was just married. And 7 years after she was married, her husband died. And no children. And I judge she lived for 84 years now. I know there's better counters than me. I know we don't talk about folk that can count now, but 84 years in and out to the house of God. Fastings and prayings. She wouldn't be much to look at, hmm? Fastings and prayings night and day. But she went to the house of God. I know she came in at that instant. Just at that instant. Just led of the Spirit at that instant. Wasn't she of the tribe of Asher? Bread shall be fat, that's doctrine. And shall yield royal dainties.
Oh, here it's coming now. And it says, she gave thanks likewise to God. I always took it, I may be wrong, I always took it that she too lifted them up in her arms and blessed God. So that being a spirit-led person is open to the men and it's open to the women. And handling Christ is open to teenagers. But it says Mary handled him. And Joseph, his supposed father, took the child and he handled him. And old Anna and Simeon handled him. And John the Baptist handled him. And Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, these are all the ones. And John the Baptist, they all handled him. So it's open to every spectrum of human life, young and old, rich and poor. They can all embrace Christ and enjoy Christ. Oh, to be in the class of the spirit-led man who have eyes for Christ and arms for Christ and hearts for Christ and words like Christ. These are all very, very important things. I've only got 6 minutes. Less, for Willie told me 5 minutes. Sorry about that, Willie. Imagine an address, a 1 minute address. You know, if it was just a 1 minute address that was a help to you, it would be well worthwhile. There's some men, and they only should be up 1 minute. And us others could take many more minutes. You know, the spirit-led, the spirit-filled man, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, the filling of the Spirit is open to everyone. There's only one baptism of the Spirit, but there's many fillings of the Spirit. And here in this passage, I notice that the filling of the Spirit is linked with happiness. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. This isn't like this isn't something jazzed up. This is some joy in here. When you're sitting by the chair yourself and nobody comes in and you don't see anyone for days. This is what this is. A psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song. They're all different. As all the psalms are different. Some are happy and sad. And when you read the sad ones, you grow sad. But when you read the happy ones, you should grow happy. And I see a few preachers here. You know, when you go to preach, when you come to the sad bits, be sad. But when you come to the happy bits, please be happy. It's so important. Speaking to yourselves. It's not singing at all. Speaking to yourselves. It's speaking to yourselves. It's not singing to yourselves. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. Making melody in your heart. It's a private experience. Unto the Lord. What a variety of song there is to sing about. What things there is to be happy about. That's the one of the features of the spirit-filled man. He's got a variety of song. I notice too, he's got a submissiveness of spirit. Submit yourselves one to another. A submissiveness of spirit. He's not always wanting to be in charge. He's not always wanting his opinion to be accepted. He's a submissive brother. He'll give his mind. I give my mind at our meeting. I tell the brethren, you know, when they ask me, I don't go forward telling them. But if they, I give them my mind. I don't fight with them at the door. And I never huff with them. And I don't take the pet or anything like that. I found, you see, my friend, the secret is to have a submissive spirit. Be subject one to another. When you come into the home, it says that the wives have to submit themselves to their own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Now that's the crowning jewel. That's the crowning jewel of a home. Is a woman that's in her place. Not in her place or given her place, but when a woman is taking her place. Her God-appointed, scripturally designed. You know, it never can be wiser than doing the thing that God suggests. You do believe, don't you, that God's right in everything? Anybody in here doesn't believe that? I would doubt whether you are going to heaven. I believe the Bible, from cover to cover, even though it finds me out, even though it finds me sinful, the Bible is true on every matter, doctrinal, practical, ethical, everything. God is right on everything. So there is that submissiveness, and then there's the headship is acknowledged by the wives. And then, husbands, love your wives. Oh, Husbands, love your wives. Now, I'm sure Willie will draw me down, but could I just have one more minute? Just one more. I need lots of more minutes. Just one more minute. Husbands, love your wives. The story is told by Spurgeon of the man that was dying, and you know, his wife nursed him for years, and eventually, just as his last breath was drawing out of him, he says, "You know, Maggie, I do really love you." She says, "He's just glad to see you at this point, John, just to hear it. Just to hear it. Husbands, love your wives." Oh, I tell you this, that's the thing that makes for happiness and unity and blessedness, is the submission of the wife and the love and the nourishing and the cherishing. Nourishing is providing for your wife. Cherishing is the affection to your wife. These things go to blend, and they make the features of the Spirit-filled man. And then I see, I must finish. Children, obey. Children in the meetings, are you baptized and saved in the meetings, and you're still under your parents? Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. That's the sign that you're Spirit-filled, is that you're obedient. Oh, Spirit-filled, Monday morning, in the factory, in the office, with the manager, with the men. Not with eye service, as men please us, but doing the will of God from the heart. And ye bosses, ye managers, what they call top notchers now, do you know what I mean? Don't you be partial. Don't you have favourites. You represent God as being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Don't be partial in anything that you do. How I would love to have had more time in those chapters. But God will bless his word, shall we pray?
Well, we're very glad to be with you. But this afternoon I would like to look at the features of the Spirit-led man, and then we'll turn over to Ephesians and we'll look at the features of a Spirit-filled man. Now, the Gospel by Luke, first of all, and in chapter 2. Chapter 2 of the Gospel by Luke. The Gospel according to Luke, and we'll read in the 22nd verse. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, and or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day, and she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, please. The Ephesian letter, and in chapter 5. Chapter 5 of the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, and commencing to read at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there any respect of persons with him. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to all our souls. We would like this afternoon, by the help of the Lord and by the help of his gracious Holy Spirit, to try with some interest and retain your interest, because we understand that Sunday afternoons are very, very heavy, and it's sometimes just on a Sunday afternoon that people like a little view of their eyelids and they fall asleep. Now, that's the last thing that I would like after all my preparation. But I know some people are tired, and I understand. I would love to look with you this afternoon at the features of a Spirit-led man. And then, if we have time, I would love to show you the features of a Spirit-filled man. You see, when you come to Ephesians, Ephesians has nothing at all to do with charisma. It is all about ordinary things, like loving your wife and being obedient to your husband and loving your children and making melody in your heart. It's nothing at all about the things that we feel and are fed with today. And I would love to get to that particular point. But first of all, we would love to look at the features of a Spirit-led man. You know, there isn't a Christian believer but that should not long in his soul to be led of the Holy Spirit. We do propound amongst ourselves that the hymns we give out and the readings that we do and the ministry that we give, that it is of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, I would love, of course, that that was all true. You know, really, when you give out a hymn, do you know that you're actually telling the company that you've had an unction of the Holy One? That's really what you're saying. That's how it can't be a favorite. That's how it can't be something that you like to hear sung. You see, you're really saying that you have been led of the Holy Spirit to do such a thing. Well, I want to show you the features that mark this lovely soul here, because you'll notice the constant repetition, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. He was led by the Spirit. So we're going to see the features that come out and the things that men think about when they're led of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to say to ourselves, are we led of the Holy Spirit? Because we're really away beyond the day of just children's thinking. We really must come to this point. Are these the features that mark me? Does the Spirit of God lead me? This passage opens up in a most beautiful way. It's a scene in the temple. And that's lovely. And I'm sure you'll notice, just in case I don't get to it, but when you come to Ephesians and the Spirit-filled man, it's nothing to do with the temple. And it's nothing to do with the house of God. And it's nothing to do with the assembly. That singing and making melody in your heart is your own personal enjoyment and experience in the things of God. And you'll find that being filled with the Spirit is linked with your life, your private life, your home, your wife, your family, your children, your master, and all these things. That's the features of the Spirit-filled man. The one seems to be marked by the inside, being led of the Spirit. And the filling of the Spirit seems to have to do with the outside. Now, take more time as I come to that. Did you notice, too, that in this passage, in chapter 2, there is a constant repetition of the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord. The law of the Lord. Why is that? Well, you see, in this passage, there's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. And then there's the law of the Lord. And the law of the Lord. What does this mean? It just means this, that these two things are never at variance. These two things are consistent with each other. There's always the law of the Lord to be obeyed. The Spirit of God never works out with the circle of the Word of God. And here you'll discover in this passage that Mary and Joseph have come up to the temple according to the Word of the Lord. They want to do things that are right according to the law of the Lord. There are some people think that once they're led of the Spirit, that they can do it out with the circle of the revelation of the Word of God. You know, that's not true, my friend. I want to speak to you on this. These things are all consistent and can be beautifully blended together. You know, in this beautiful passage, it's one of those singular incidents in chapter 2 where you get the type and the antitype standing together in the house of God. You've got these turtle doves or two young pigeons. And here's the very answer to the sacrifice. Here's the very answer to the type that is being brought in. Now, there are numerous things like that in the New Testament. I'm not going to tell you them all. But they're all lying there for you to find them out. Here in the temple at one time is the type and the antitype. Now, I hope you'll bear with me when I suggest to you this, that this presentation is the 40-day presentation. And there was a presentation of every child, every son that opened the womb was presented to the Lord on the 40th day. Now, I want to teach this afternoon that this is, in a sense, signifying to us the deepness of the priesthood of Christ. For every son that opened the womb in Israel was intended to be a priest unto God. The Levite took the firstborn's place. Now, when a firstborn son looked upon a Levite, he might have said, you know, he's not too well off. He hasn't too much gear about him. He hasn't got much land. But you know, when a firstborn son looked upon a Levite, this is what he had to say. That man is taking my place before God. This is so very, very important to grasp, that the Levite was taking the place of the firstborn son. Now, God intended that all the firstborn sons should be priests unto the Lord. And in that deep sense, is the real deep priesthood of Christ. Now, I know that upon earth he was not a priest in the sense of the Aaronic priesthood. But in that sense, and in this gospel, you'll find those moral, beautiful, priestly features that marked our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's a man. And some are telling us nowadays that he's not an old man. Well, you know, I can tell when a man in the Bible's an old man or whether he's a young man. You know, there's language and attitudes that come out of people which are not the language and attitudes of young men. Young men don't want to die. Young men are just not too keen on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Young men seem to have everything to live for. They think, and maybe in retirement, they'll become very spiritual. But you know, there's something about this man. He's just different. He's got longings to be away from this world altogether. And God has intimated to him that he's not really going to die yet until he has seen the Lord's Christ. And here's a little thing, when you're always talking about my Savior, our Savior, and that's right, and the Bible talks that way too. Remember, he was the Lord's Christ before he was your Savior. Remember, he was God's enjoyment before he ever came here. He was the bread that God fed upon, and wonder of all wonders, that I should be allowed the luxury to feed upon that which God has enjoyed from all eternity. When you come into these passages, I want you to notice certain things that mark this man. Now, I don't preach a lot on names. I know others do. But I've seen it so ham-fistedly handled, and I've seen names stretched out to mean nearly a whole sermon, that I've sort of shied clear of that kind of a thing. Not that others can do it well, but I just can't do it so well. But I want to lift his name. His name means hearing. There'll never be a man led of the Holy Spirit that hasn't got this aptitude of hearing, giving attendance to things, giving attendance to real things, deep things, true things, spiritual things. You know, the most of men that grow old, they've always got this confession coming out of their mouth. You know, I didn't give attention to the thing when I was young. I didn't give my whole heart to the thing when I was young. I thought the house was important, and the family were important, and so they are in a relevant sense. And the garden was important, and my hobbies were important. But you know,
They never gave their time to the big thing.
Simeon seems to be a man that's in the confidence of the Holy Spirit. I would love that. I would love to be in the confidences of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit could reveal things to this man. You know, I would to God that I had waited more for the leading of the Holy Spirit than searching to hear what Mr. Kelly says, or Tregellis says, or Tichinder says, or Lachman says. Maybe someone says, who are all they people? Well, they're people that the preachers all look into, you know, and they think they're great authorities. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher of all. And he's constantly revealing Christ to the seeking soul. Simeon, I judge, lived up to his name. He was a man that was found listening and hearing. Of course, he got his name from his mother. You know, it wasn't father. It wasn't Jacob that called Simeon Simeon. It was his mother. You know, the mother was the despised wife of Jacob. And every child that was born was a different experience in her wanting the affections of her husband. And every child that was born, nothing came to pass. Still didn't attract her husband until finally she bore Judah. And this is what she said, I'm not troubling any more about my husband. Now I will praise the Lord. And Simeon got his name from her mother, that God heard her cry and opened her womb. You know, the listening ear and the sensitive soul that moves before God, they really get the blessings. And so he is the man, Simeon. Notice he was in the right place. I'm not saying he was among all right people, because Jerusalem was just a ferment of plague and trouble and evil and all the things that you could say about it that would only spoil your Sunday afternoon. But listen, he was there and he was spiritual. You know, the days are coming upon us when we're hardly going to be able to sit in a meeting, even like this, and think about serious things. There's that much trouble, there's that much evil, and there's that many heartbreaks. But you know, here's a man, and he seems to rise above it all, and the Spirit doesn't speak to any of the high people, the priests, the prominent religious leaders. The Holy Spirit is speaking to a very ordinary individual. Did you notice, my friend, that this man isn't a priest? Did you notice that we're not told what his job was, or where he got his living, or what connection? There was a man in Jerusalem. You know, Holy Spirit confidences are open to men that are in touch with God. It doesn't matter who your father was, and it doesn't matter what connection, or if you never were brought up in meetings and you don't have the books that others have. I want to say this to you today. The Spirit of God lifted this man and didn't tell us anything about his family. The leading of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with hereditary, has nothing to do with background, because it's not brought up here at all. There was a man in Jerusalem. Just in case you don't hold to that, you remember when Paul is telling of that time when he was taken to the third heaven? He says, I knew a man in Christ. He doesn't say, I knew an apostle. I knew an Apollos. I knew a brilliant academic. He says, I knew a man in Christ. You know, third heavens are open to every man that's in Christ. Do you believe that? See, someone, I thought these big things are just for the preachers. Listen, my friend, your thinking's all wrong. If you're in Christ, in relationship, there's no place you couldn't go yet. There's no person that you couldn't be yet. I knew a man in Christ, but there's a little thing there I must show you. He says, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. Three times he said that. That was to really get it into your heart. That not only have you to be a man in Christ, but you have to be a man that's unconscious of the flesh. He didn't know whether he was living, whether he was dead, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. Do we want spiritual things? Well, we come in on the ground of relationship, and then we give the Spirit of God the condition to operate. He was taken up into the third heaven. And so, when we come to this man, notice he's in Jerusalem. He's in the right place. You know, my friend, we're not here to beat party drums. That's the last thing that I do. But I want to tell you this. It is a very comfortable feeling, without being Pharisaical, to feel and know that we're in the right place. You know, my friend, I wouldn't like to be in the wrong place. And I feel being in the assembly of God, with all its inconsistencies and all its failures, that it is the pillar and base of the truth, and the grounds of our gathering, and the basis of our doctrine, and the person of Christ who's the center of our gathering. How blessed it is to be a listening man, just a man, but to be in the right place. What advantages it has made for every one of us. We could have been wandering around in the systems today with different plagues of doctrines about us. But although we have marked by inconsistency and failure and weakness, thank God our doctrine is right. And that comes out in the gospel meeting, doesn't it? When someone comes in, isn't it a massive, marvelous thing that someone could get saved? Because we hold to the all-atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this man was in the right place. It's not only good to be right, it's good to be in the right place. I notice too that the Spirit is going to lead him, but he gives the Spirit ground to work in. He's just and he's devout. He's just, that is manward. He's devout, that is Godward. He's just, manward. He's devout, Godward. Tell me this. Wherever did you meet a man that ever made his mark for God that hadn't these two prerequisites? Right outside there, devoted privately to God in their life. You know, when a man comes up here and he's not right out there, everyone seems to be crying out to them, though they wouldn't be rude and do it. It's time you sat down. You see, my friend, there's nothing besmirches God's name worse than a bad testimony. This man is just, but he's devout. He's devoted to God. He's fair. He's just. He's straight with men outside. He gives the representation of God as a man of righteousness. But privately, he's given over in devotion to God. These two things blended together make for a real man and make for the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. But you know, this man is not only just without and right with God within, but this man has got an objective in life. This man has got an objective. What is it? He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. You know, the language is just beautiful. You know, when it comes to old Anna, she goes and tells all those that are looking for redemption in Jerusalem. You know, aren't people all different? You know, that's the worst thing about meetings. We want everybody to be like ourselves. Would you like everybody to be like the trucks that come off the Bathgate line, would you? It's the same in marriages. Men would like to change their wives, and women would like to change their men. And brethren would like to change brethren to be like them. You wouldn't like any more in the meeting like yourself, would you? You see, my friend, what am I trying to get to you? Simeon is different from Anna. They're both lovely. They're both spiritual. They've both got the one objective. But one looks for the consolation of Israel. Maybe he's thinking of the background. Maybe he's thinking of the priests. Maybe he's thinking of the robbers and the thieves that are in the house of God. And he's longing for the consolation of Israel. Maybe the old lady, she's looking for the redemption. She's looking for the complete deliverance. Not just the initial, but the redemption of the body. Maybe she even got that distance. You know, we think the Old Testament people hadn't the light that we had. I'll tell you, some of them had a lot more faith than we have, and they hadn't half the light that we've got. And so, here we come to the matter. He's waiting. He's exercised. And he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Let me go over two little points, just in case you miss them. The first point I try to raise with you, and audiences sometimes are like preachers, they're very dull. You know, the Holy Ghost had confidence in this man that he could impart divine truth to him. That's so very, very
important. It could reveal things to him. In the repetition of that, I'm trying to come round to a more serious point, and that's this. The first thing a spirit-led man discovers is that his life is linked with God's divine purpose. His life is linked with God's divine purpose. Now, when we hear the brethren talking in that strange, mystical, mysterious way about the divine purpose, you understand? Everybody's expected to understand it. You know, God has a purpose. And that purpose concerns his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when Paul gets saved, he recounts it. He says, God who separated me from my mother's womb. That was his first birth. And called me by his grace. That was his second birth. That he might reveal his Son in me. Now that is the divine purpose of God at the present moment. I know he's calling out of the nations of people for his name, and in that context. But the real reason that I'm saved is that his Son might be revealed in me. I wonder if we know that. I wonder if we're beyond the seats of the Bethany Hall and coming to the meeting. I wonder if we've grasped the great big matter that my life is linked with divine purpose, and God's divine purpose involves me. I know that if I fail, that God's purpose will not be thwarted. But God longs for me to be linked with his own divine purpose. Do you not feel you want to rise up off the seat with joy? That God wants you and me to be in the deep enjoyment of his great purpose. God wants to reveal his Son in me and through me. That is the real reason why you are saved. And that goes away beyond mammy's talk and the preacher sitting beside you and all that. The great purpose of God is that the features and virtues of Christ might come out in you and me. Not only so, I noticed that he learned God's purpose and his life were linked together. I can't believe that little bit. I know the time rushes on. I think maybe the next time you'll get rid of all these clocks. Oh, clocks. You know, in the old days in the churches, the clocks were all on the outside, but now in our meetings, the clocks are all on the inside. Here's the great matter. My life, my puny, my very ordinary life, is linked with God's divine purpose. Oh, you know, when someone gets a big job, you know we're in this firm, and you know, they're linked with such and such a firm, and you know we're a big firm, you know, and you know he's got plenty of assets. Do you know what it really means to be in and attached to and linked with divinely, with divine purpose? Oh, the glory of it and the joy of it. It just nearly makes me want to cry for joy. That I, an ordinary being, am linked with God's great divine purpose. And that God wants to reveal secrets to me. And God wants to reveal his Son to me. And God wants to give me a deep yearning, exercised soul about the future. These things are all before our mind. It says when he was coming to the temple, it says the Spirit led him into the temple. You wouldn't hear any clonk, clonk of heels, would you? You wouldn't hear any rustling, would you? You wouldn't hear any rustling even of confectionery papers. Led by the Spirit, enter the temple. I wish we would get beyond talking about the hall. I and the meetings. In days gone by, they were called holy convocations to the Lord. Feast of the Jews that became. They once were feasts of Jehovah. Let us not degenerate holy things. Let us not be ordinary in talking about them. They are holy. They are God's. And that's what lends dignity to them. And that's what lends dignity to everything that is associated with these things. And so in his public life, and the Spirit moves when the law of the Lord is done. It was after it was done according to the law of the Lord. The Spirit moves. You know, the Bible is getting a bit outdated for us now.
And it's not the word of God now. It's your opinion and mine. I never forget a man saying, you have your opinion and I have mine, and that's none at all. You know, my friend, when you come into God's things, there's not one of your little brains is asked for. Everything's been thought about. It's all been thought out. 7 times, 8, I think, in one chapter, God says to the brainiest man in his day, he says to Moses, see that thou do it according to the pattern that was shown thee in the mount. There's no room at all for my brains or my suggestions. God has thought it all out, and it's all there in the word of God. You know, the Spirit-led man was given discernment to know Christ, 40 days old. Not easy to discern. Many children possibly presented, but the Spirit gave him eyes to discern Christ. You know, it's the Spirit of God we need. You know, the Spirit of God is not an influence. The Spirit of God is a divine being. And you know, there's no inferiority and there's no superiority in the Godhead. And it is the great design of the Spirit to reveal Christ to all our hearts. Do you know why we're so powerless? Do you know why no one feels the weight of the ministry and the gospel and no one gets saved? It's because the ministry of Christ and the power of an ungrieved spirit is hardly known, is a rare matter amongst us. Let us do things according to the law of the Lord. Let us not be foolish and hypocritical, thinking that God's presence is amongst us if there are things not done according to the law of the Lord. And then the Spirit of God will anoint our very eyes and will be able to tell the Christ. And so the Spirit gave him discernment to know Christ. And not only so, the Spirit gave him desires to embrace Christ. Oh, not only knowing Christ, but wanting to embrace Christ. An old man in the public temple. No one else knows Christ except his parents. And he wants to not only know him, but he wants to embrace him. And what is this all about? Is it not knowing Christ? This is life eternal. To know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Isn't that why we're carnacious? Isn't that why we're envious? Isn't that why jealousy abounds? It's because really we've never drank of the Spirit of Christ.